Welcome in to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah, along with Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. We've got a UFC pay-per-view to preview for you this weekend. They are going to Vegas, not at the usual Apex, but in front of people at the T-Mobile Arena. So there will be fans in front of this one as we get to the final pay-per-view. The final pay-per-view on ESPN Plus for this one. And then, of course, we got to start because for the first time this year, I am able to go to the MMA schedule and click on 2026. And I'm able to look at our fights, Jordan, for the year 2026. But first of all, how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was good. Was in Pensacola with the family. So nice. Got out of town, missed the blizzard that hit us over Thanksgiving weekend. Randomly watched the Chicago Bears game at Senior Frogs.
Oh, Senior Frogs.
Frogs. Okay. The last time I was there was spring break, senior year of college, I think. But like we were walking around on the boardwalk and I'm like, I'm looking at Jess, my wife, and I'm like, game time. Like I got to find somewhere to go watch. So started going to restaurant after restaurant. Will you be watching or will you be showing
the only game on?
Yeah. But like the first restaurant, like, didn't know what I was talking about.
What?
Like, yeah. But Senior Frogs had it. They put it on exclusively for me because I was literally the only person in there. But then the entire family came and had lunch. So it was great. It was great. Good time. How was yours?
It was good. A lot of family came in. We're like the, it's weird to say we're the middle between Indiana and Florida, but we're the middle between Indiana and Florida because of the only grandchild is my child. So everybody comes in to see my child. And so my parents, my wife's parents, everybody comes in. We're the house. We host. And yeah, there's a lot of people. And then, yes, obviously the Bears win. But halftime of CBS's game, we got Dana White to announce some fights, and we got some fights.
We got some excitement for sure for the debut on Paramount.
On Paramount Plus, like I said, this is the last pay-per-view on ESPN Plus. The UFC is moving all of their stuff over to Paramount Plus. So if you have a Paramount Plus account, you don't have to pay anything extra. These are just there. If you pay whatever, I don't know how much it is, $5, $6, $7 a month, whatever it is.
It's like $7.95, but whatever. Who's being difficult?
Whatever. You just get it. You just get it. You just are going to get these fights. So today we are going to preview UFC 323 to kick off the year, January 24th. I assume there's going to be some fight nights mixed in maybe before then. I don't think this is going to be the first fight of the year.
What's the date on this?
January 24th.
Yeah, I think they probably got to get one in there.
Maybe. So anyway, as far as we know, this is the first fight on the calendar for the year. UFC 324, Justin Gaethje against Paddy Pimblett for the interim lightweight title right now. And Paddy Pimblett's already chirping about this being him being disrespected because this is interim or whatever. But this is going to be a hell of a fight.
Well, it's interim because Ilya Topuria is the champ. And
yes.
Look, and he can't fight till the spring, apparently. They really wanted to put the fight card surrounding him as the headliner, but he's not going to be ready. And Armin Sarukian is not in a position who just won to have a quick turnaround and headline this fight. So you get a fantastic fight. I'd argue that Justin Gaethje really isn't deserving of this headlining spot and a headlining spot to win a championship, but he's got an opportunity and you get the fan favorite. You get the guy that everybody wants to see, or at least one of the guys that everybody wants to see in this sport. And it potentially, if he wins, sets up a fantastic rivalry and animosity and championship fight for in the spring between Ilya Topuria and Paddy Pimblett.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one. Your co-main event here for the women's bantamweight title, Amanda Nunes, Kayla Harrison. That's going to be a great fight.
I mean,
fight.
That's bonkers that they're able to schedule this fight. But it is absolute disrespect that this is not the headlining fight. If you couldn't get Ilya Topuria, and you've got even an interim championship fight, this is the greatest women's fight of all time, at least potentially on paper. It supplements Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes. It supplements Amanda Nunes versus Ronda Rousey. I mean, these potentially could be the two greatest female fighters of all time. And oh, by the way, like the winner of this fight could then meet Valentina Shevchenko, who's up there as well. So I cannot wait for that fight to see how it plays out. obviously curious. Amanda Nunes has been on the shelf a little, or not on the shelf. She's been on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. She's been retired. But no question whatsoever, and I will say it and say it again. She is on my Mount Rushmore of fighters, not female fighters.
Just fighters.
She is one of the greatest female athletes of all time.
Yeah, it should be a banger. It should be the main event because it is for the actual title, not an interim title, and it should be a great fight. And then the other fights on this main card, Sean O'Malley, Song Yadong, Waldo Acosta-Cortez, Derek the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, Arnold Allen, John Silva should be a great fight. And, I mean, Rose Namajunas is on the prelims against Alexa Grasso. Umar Nurmagomedov is fighting against Deviston Figueiredo in the prelims. Like, this is a way, if you want to start your Paramount Plus pay-per-view, I go, it's not pay-per-view, but this would be a pay-per-view, this is how you start it.
Yeah, yeah. Top this to is bottom, a great it way. It's extremely deep. It's filled with stars. It's filled with title fights. It's filled with, you know, up-and-comers like Adiba Godier. He's on the prelims. He's a fantastic middleweight that's been knocking some people out. So, yeah, certainly excited to see what develops, and it's the right thing to do. You know, you want to start with a bang. You put that fight card together.
Then we also got announced to January 31st. We get UFC 320. At least that's what it's scheduled as January 31st. Is that the next week? They're doing UFC 325 right after 324. Mm-hmm. Volkanovski against Lopez 2. They're going to go back to Australia. So Diego Lopez is going to fight Alexander Volkanovski again in this rematch. This should be another great fight. So for the featherweight title, this rematch, this should be another great fight. So you're getting back-to-back, you know, pay-per-views. We can't call them pay-per-views. What are we calling these now?
Marquee events? Yeah, but the numbered
because
events
you're not
too is
get,
fight nights. So.
You're not going to get fight nights anymore? Are they just going to be numbers now because they're going to be week to week?
No, but they have fight nights and they have...
Are we just... Events? Is this how they're doing it? So is the next week going to be...
UFC 326
is going to be the next February event? Is this what they're doing now?
Let's get Dean Thomas on. Maybe he'll know.
Maybe he'll know.
He won't know. No, never mind. But I mean, look, I don't want to get into the weeds here. But there is some people questioning about Lopez immediately getting this rematch. You know,
okay,
he's got one successful fight following his loss to Alexander Volkanovski. There were other rightful contenders potentially to fight Alexander Volkanovski, but nonetheless, they book a fan favorite. So again, there might be a little bit of a trend here with these Paramount Plus numbered fight cards where you've got the interim title fight, Paddy Pimblett, Justin Gaethje, fun fight, fan-friendly fight, not the two best top contenders in the lightweight division, and then certainly, Lerone Murphy getting screwed out of a championship fight in place of Diego Lopez, who just lost to the champion, but Diego Lopez is a much more fun and thrilling fighter than the aforementioned Lerone Murphy.
It should be, whatever they add to this card, too, should be pretty good as long as they keep adding fights to this card.
What's his name is back? Shuey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's
they're going to add to this card?
He's
okay.
Been
that's
going to
be a great fight as
well.
Whoever they add to that, that's going to be great. So a great way to start UFC's years, however many years this is on Paramount and their move from ESPN to Paramount Plus, and a great way to start the year of 2026 for the UFC. But we still have a couple events here in 2025. UFC 323 is the final pay-per-view. You still got to pay for this one. The last one you're going to have to pay extra for if you don't have ESPN Plus already. And this is going to be, we get one of our favorite, least favorite fighters. Is that a way to put it? Our favorite, least favorite fighters, Mirab Dvashvili against Peter Yan. We'll talk about that one a little bit later on. But we kick off this main card with Jan Blachowicz and Bogdan Guskov. Blachowicz come in here. He's on a 3-fight winless streak. He's 1-3-1 in his last 5 fights. He's looking to stop that 3-fight winless streak. He is a -140 favorite to do that. He goes against Bogdan Guskov, who is +110. He has 4 straight stoppage wins coming into this fight. He is a short underdog here at +110. What do you think of this guy? This one, 2 guys coming in here on opposite ends of the spectrum. 1 guy coming in with 3 losses. 1 guy coming in with 4 wins. All of them via stoppage.
Yeah, I mean, I think look, if you're a fan and you're into fresh opportunity for the champion Alex Pereira and Poatan, and you're looking for, you know, the light heavyweight division to get a little bit more exciting, you hope Guskov wins this fight. You know, he was originally a short notice replacement, lost to Volkan Uzdemir, but since that point has won three fights in a row. I think all three of them by finish. So a guy that's got a great right hand, has been improving his cardio, but a lot of people question, you know, just how good this guy was because he had a padded record before he got to the UFC. And he's going to get a kickboxing match against Jan Błachowicz, you know, the former champion, Polish power, who is getting up there in age. You know, I think he won the championship when he was 40. He's now 42, 43 years of age. He's improved his cardio. He's improved his wrestling to become an overall mixed martial artist. But a draw against Magomed Ankalaev, the controversial split decision loss against Pohea, and then a unanimous decision kind of three-round loss to Carlos Ubberg, who many people believe is the next contender for the light heavyweight division. But this is a fight that he wins. This is a fight that caters to Błachowicz because he's going to get a kickboxing battle. He's not going to have to worry about wrestling and grappling and takedowns and a hard cardio push for three rounds. I think the one element of Guskov's game that he has is a strong right hand. You know, if he touches you on that, you likely are going to sleep. But Błachowicz also is a guy that hits with tremendous amounts of power, and I could see him putting Guskov to sleep as well. So for me right now, as we're recording this on Wednesday, it's Błachowicz straight up on the money line. I think just respect to the strength of schedule, the contenders, and the fact that the skill set that Guskov is going to bring is something that and certainly not anything that, you know, Błachowicz hasn't seen before, but more importantly, you know, things that he has done well against. He's not going up there against a wrestler. But I also think we're going to get a lot of some dancing around and some tentativeness. So I think I'd look at some of the over props as well.
All right. So we're looking at Błachowicz money line here at minus 140. We're looking at your total rounds here. Over 2.5 is plus 116. If you're looking at Guskov by knockout is plus 220. Błachowicz by points is plus 240. Błachowicz by knockout is plus 380. Guskov by points is plus 650. Błachowicz by sub is plus 700. And
yeah, the sub props I think you got to ignore. Yeah, I think, you know, I could argue either way for maybe a TKO finish by one of these guys. Certainly is in play because of the power that both of them possess. But I think that the safest play for this fight is just Błachowicz straight up on the money line. I think he's going to win, and just the strength of schedule alone has me feeling confident about that.
All right, our next fight, we're getting gloves down.
Bring him back up.
And he's going to bring him back up, and then he's going to put him back down. And then he's going to bring him back up, and then he's going to put him back down, and then is he going to bring him back up? Henry Cejudo, plus 215 against Peyton Talbot is minus 290. And we're looking at, like I mentioned, Henry Cejudo is, quote, making his final walk. Maybe. Who knows? He put a pause on his career after successfully defending his bantamweight title and then retired and then unretired. And then he dropped decisions against Sterling and Devashvili and Song Yadong and then took some time off. And then who knows? He's an underdog. He's plus 215. Now, Peyton Talbot is coming in here and he is minus 290. He's a heavy favorite. He had a impressive debut here, and he's minus 290 to retire, maybe, Henry Cejudo, and maybe we get some gloves down here at the end of this fight.
Yeah, this fight pisses me off. I mean, look, I'm excited to see Peyton Talbot. You know, he bounced back after getting humbled by Hani Barcelos. Barcelos was a plus 900 underdog in that fight, but the takedowns and the striking was working for Barcelos that night. And we know how talented that guy is. So Peyton Talbot, you know, bounces back, but bounces back kind of like in an unimpressive way against Felipe Lima. Mm-hmm. Now he's fighting Henry Cejudo. And I think all that this is about is a name kind of on the resume for Peyton Talbot to likely get his hand raised against. You know, look, Henry Cejudo will go down as the guy that defeated Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. And doing that and ending Mighty Mouse's run through the flyweight division is uber impressive. And likely Henry Cejudo is the most credentialed mixed martial artist and UFC fighter we've ever seen because of winning gold medals at the Olympics and then transitioning that to a successful MMA career and a multiple champion in multiple divisions. But that was years ago. He hasn't been the same fighter. He's lost three fights in a row. He's retired twice. And oh, by the way, these two spent time with each other where Henry Cejudo educated and coached Peyton Talbot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously some mutual respect there. I think Peyton Talbot probably goes into your parlays because, you know, at that level. But I think, really, I think Peyton Talbot's going to win this fight via decision. I think that this fight's going three rounds. I think Peyton Talbot is not going to look for the finish. He's going to look to score. He's going to look to control and win the, and not, you know, embarrass. Not that he, like, he's, it's for sure going to happen. He's going to embarrass Henry Cejudo. But I think Talbot by decision at plus 105, plus 110. Mm-hmm. That's my recommendation.
For all right. Talbot by points at plus 105. That's in there. Talbot by knockout is plus 300. Cejudo by points is plus 370. And everything else is just kind of ridiculous. But we'll throw Talbot into that parlay as well. Our next fight is has pretty much the best odds here on this main card. So it is, Vegas believes it could be the closest fight on this main card. You've got Brandon Moreno against Tatsu Tyra here. And it could be who is next in line for that championship opportunity in flyweight here. So you've got, and all these guys have kind of like crossed paths with guys in, like Brandon Royval and all this stuff. So you've got Brandon Moreno against Tatsu Tyra. Moreno is plus 101, basically even money, plus 100, plus 104, plus 105, depending on where you're looking. And Tyra is minus 130 on the money line. And this, when we go through to method of victory, judges believe, Vegas believes that this will go to the judges' scorecard. Both by points are the highest. It's plus 150 for Tyra and plus 160 for Moreno. So yeah, this, they both believe. And then everything else is like plus 500, plus 600, plus 1,000, and like 15 to 1. So this is going to the judges' scorecard. We're expecting a decent fight, one that goes the distance here.
Yeah, you know what? It's really too bad that Tyra's original last fight, Amir Albazi, had to pull out of a headlining fight. And then he fights, you know, Park Hung Sung, who, you know, look, was a road to UFC season winner, but he got stopped, you know, pretty early in that fight in the second round via submission. I would have liked to see if Tyra, like, was worthy of fighting the guys in the flyweight division of the top five. But look, he wins that fight, and now he gets booked up against a multiple time former champion in Brandon Moreno, a guy that does not get tired, improved cardio, grappling exchanges are awesome, and a guy that's never been submitted. And I think Tyra's path to winning this fight is to utilize his length and his speed and get a submission. And I just don't think it's going to happen there. I think Tyra is a talented fighter. I think that he's going to be in the mix for the top five consideration, likely a title shot at some point down the road as well. I think this is just too much too soon. Royval kind of showed him a little bit of that because a lot of people thought that Tyra was going to run through Brandon Royval. But that wasn't, they didn't fight. They did. And then Royval wins the fight via split decision because
That's why I mentioned it. There's like three fights here that have Royval in here.
Yeah,
Royval's that I'm looking
crazy
at it.
And isn't Royval fighting next week? I believe.
Yes.
I believe he is. So, Brandon Moreno at plus money, like really now anytime ever in his career. He's one of those like Neil Magny type guys, even though he's not even close to like the longevity and age of Neil Magny. It's a play for me.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Moreno's plus money right now, plus 120, 125, plus 117 in that range. I love it. I think he could win this fight. He's going to win it and likely win it via decision.
All right, so we're going to go with Moreno at plus 105 is what it's right now on FanDuel. And then if you go Moreno by points, it's plus 170, and that's what the judges or Vegas believes it's going to go to. If you go to total rounds, the over 2.5 is minus 350, so that's a waste right there. So Moreno by points is plus 170, and like I mentioned, Tyra by points is plus 150, and everything else, Tyra by sub is plus 550, Moreno by knockout is plus 550, Moreno by sub is 14 to 1, Tyra by knockout is 14 to 1 also. So Moreno money line is plus 105 and Moreno by points is plus 170. That's what we'll go with there. So we've got two championship fights on this card as well. Our first one is going to be Alexander Pantoja against Joshua Van. And Van is plus 200. Pantoja here is minus 265. This is the third year that Pantoja has fought in December. It's kind of weird that he keeps fighting at the end of the year here. He has beaten Roy Val, who we just talked about, and Kai Asakura the last two winters in Las Vegas. And now, and then he fought earlier this year at UFC 317, and he beat Kai Kara France to earn his fourth consecutive title defense. And now he's going to fight Joshua Van, who is a heavy underdog at plus 200, and Pantoja here is minus 265. How do you see this?
We were just talking about Demetrius Johnson and his dominance in the flyweight division. Pantoja's like there. If not, he's getting there. If he's not there, he's already passed a guy like Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. And Alexander Pantoja just is like Merab Dvalishvili in the fact that he just continues to welcome either new contenders or, mm-hmm. you know, retreads and win fights in an exciting way. Okay.
But here's the difference.
Finisher?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. He is a finisher. Probably the best back taker we have in mixed martial arts.
Easy.
And a tremendous submission grappler and always looking for the finish. And Joshua Van is an intriguing prospect and intriguing opposition because he's very well-rounded, really kind of burst onto the scene, and for really lack of a better contender opportunity is getting this this right to fight for the championship. I just love Alexander Pantoja. I just think that he's just so uber-talented. Gets in firefights, gets out of firefights, and wins fights. At some point, he's going to get tagged, and it's going to end badly for him. I think it's going to happen likely against the guy that's fighting next week in the headliner, in Manel Kopp, because it'll mm-hmm. be a rematch, and that dude fucking hits hard.
Yeah.
I don't think it's happening against Joshua Van. I think Joshua Van, even though he was victorious over Brandon Royval, a guy that fights a similar style to Alexander Pantoja, I think not only are we getting Pantoja to be and still, we're getting the sub finish.
Yeah.
He's getting a sub once again. He's grabbing a neck, he's grabbing an arm, and he is tapping Joshua Van.
Yeah, so I'm going to put Pantoja into our parlay with Peyton Talbot. So we've got a Peyton Pantoja parlay going right now.
Oh, yeah, those peas are
I know, are popping. I'm going to go with Pantoja by sub as my prop of the night. There's a lot of peas going on here. Pantoja, good thing I got one of these mic covers here. Pantoja by sub is my prop of the night at plus 145. Pantoja by points is plus 300. Van by points is plus 460. Van by knockout plus 500, and the rest we're not going to pay attention to.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to sprinkle Van, like, I mean, obviously there's always a chance that Pantoja just doesn't show up. Like, he just has an off night and Van, you know, cruises. But I think the Pantoja the Van knockout is in play if you want to play the Van side. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm recommending Pantoja.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think I've seen it too many times that Pantoja has been tagged before.
Yeah.
And it's ended badly. A lot of people thought it was going to happen the last time against Kai Kara France, a guy that hits extremely hard. We told you no. Kai Kara France is getting submitted. He got submitted. We're going to tell you again. Joshua Van's getting submitted.
Yeah. All right. Our main event here is Merab Dvalishvili against Peter Yan. Merab is the best and the most frustrating and one of my favorite and one of my least favorite at the exact same time. He is minus 500 to win this fight. He is minus 210 to win by decision. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to play with his food. This is his fourth time fighting this year. So we can't complain about him. Like, you can't complain about him. He fights all the time. The second he was done fighting, he went five full rounds in his last fight. What did he do the second he stopped fighting? He said he wanted to fight again before the year was over.
Yeah.
And what is he going to do the second he ends Peter Yan at the end of this fight after it ends in five rounds? He's going to say, I want to fight again in 2 months. And that's what he does. He's going to fight again four times next year or five times next year. And this is what he does. And it's great and he's awesome and it's frustrating. And he plays and he just plays with his food. And I'm going to want to bet by submission. I'm going to want to put down plus 700 by submission because it's intriguing. And he's going to be sitting on Peter Yan. He's going to be holding him. I'm going to be like, just give it a little extra, dude. Just hold him up a little harder. But he's not going to do
it. No, he's not going to do it. But I think also, like, Sanhagen presented that opportunity to be submitted. And he almost had him. He had him twice.
He did twice.
But he didn't do it. The other times, and especially against a guy like Petr Yan, I don't know if that opportunity is going to present itself. I think Petr Yan is an extremely talented fighter. He's an ever-improving grappler, and I think he's going to be a tough out. And he'll be ready for
– They have fought before.
The record number of takedowns, I think.
Yes, they have fought before. It was 2 years ago in 2023. Now Yan said he was very hurt, and that's how it ended, but Dvashvili still beat him then. And again, so Merab's minus 500. I'm putting him into the parlay. But the question is, I guess the only question is, how do we put him into the parlay? Do we put him in at minus 500 or do we put him in at minus 210 by points?
I think you do minus 210 by points with respect to Yan. And just, you know, again, full well knowing that, you know, who Merab is and the type of fight that he has. He's going to want to get this fight to the ground quickly, though. He doesn't want to mess with Yan on the feet at all, which is prototypical to a typical Merab fight. So I think it's safe to say that he's going to win this fight via decision at 210. Probably want to couple that with like a couple other legs to get that price even further down, because I don't love playing that, you know, straight up. I was watching Merab. He was doing his training and he was eating, and what he was doing was he had a piece of pizza in front of him. He would take the piece of pizza, smell it, and then eat the cucumber. That's what he was
doing. Oh, yeah. I've seen people do that.
Yeah,
before.
Yeah. That was
I've seen like wrestlers do that. I've seen wrestlers do that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weirdos. Yeah.
So, look, Merab is again, like, you know, similar to Pantoja.
Yeah.
And similar to, you know, obviously these dominating champions that just continue to fight. And thank God he is like that. He's not like these other douchebags that are sitting on the sidelines waiting for a particular fight or saying there's an injury. Merab's a machine, and that's why he's called the machine, and he fights.
I bet you he fights in February or March.
Yeah.
And he will. And then he'll fight again in July. He'll be at the White House fight.
He'll be at the White House.
He'll be at the White House fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll be there. And that's fine. And that's great. That's perfect. Fight four times. If you're going to dominate like this and you're going to be minus 500 every single time, then fight five times a year. That's what I expect. And then respect to you. Because then I'm going to continue to like you. But if every time you show up and you show up once or twice a year and you're minus 500, then you suck. Because that's not fair.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to go with. Our plays for UFC 323 so far are Blachowicz by moneyline at minus 140. Talbot via decision at plus 105. Moreno money line at plus 105. Pantoja by submission, that's the prop of the night, at plus 145. And our parlay right now is Peyton Talbot money line, Pantoja money line, and Dvashvili by points at minus 210. That pays out plus 175. Anything else?
So to add to the parlay, if that's what you're looking to do, I think it's safe to throw Macy Barber in there. I think she's going to get the takedowns and have a nice, easy victory over Karine Silva. So let's just add that leg, and I think that'll probably do it. Because the other things that I'm looking at are some dogs on the card. Or, Abdul Malik's going to win, but he's a minus 1,000 favorite. So we don't want to do that. And I don't want to touch the Jalen Turner, Edson Barboza fight.
Yeah, I don't have methods of victory on Abdul Malik yet. Okay. Otherwise, I would add him by. I assume was he going to win by knockout?
Yeah, in the first round, probably.
Okay, so we can, if you want to wait and add that via knockout or via knockout in the first, and add that to the parlay, maybe that'll add something, because adding a minus 1,000 does nothing.
Yeah.
To the parlay. Oh, it takes it up to plus 357 or plus 360 as opposed to plus 315. So we'll add that five legs. So Abdul Malik, Barber, Dvashvili by points, Pantoja, and Talbot takes it up to plus 360. And that's your parlay for UFC 323. Anything else in the prelims?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend a play on Nazim Sadikov. Okay. He's fighting Firas Zaim on the prelims. Sadikov is a training partner of Merab Dvashvili. He's an outstanding kickboxer, really good striker. Zaim has been tagged in previous fights. It's almost a virtual pick. I mean, from a skill set wise, they match up evenly. But right now, Sadikov here on a Wednesday is an underdog. And I love it when, like, camps line up, teammates line up, and they're fighting together at the same time. So while all the attention is being, you know, likely with Merab, Sadikov is getting that benefit as well.
All right, he's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Get all of his picks. FatJackSports.com. We got one more week of college football this weekend. before bowl season kicks off. And then, of course, the college football playoff. You've got NFL going strong for a few more weeks as well as college basketball, the NBA. You can hear Fat Jack on with myself and Chris Black every Thursday at 2:30 as well. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. We have one more event to finish the year of 2025 in the UFC next week. So you'll hear from us next week on the Unnamed MMA podcast. Thanks for listening.